Isaiah chapter 2, looking in the Word of the Lord today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that speaks about a time yet to be. Many times Christians who have a feeling of dispensations, they'll look and say, well, this time is for another season, so it can't say anything to me, and that time's to another people, and so it cannot minister to me. We have to be careful to recognize that God's principles remain the same in many, many places of His workings in our lives. And the things that happen in a future kingdom, when it shall be expressed in a more glorious way, still find itself working in the body of Christ the Church. Many kingdom desires and principles are functioning even today, if we'll let them, in the very ministry of Christ in the Church. And so I want you to see it and be able to receive from it from that perspective. Looking at, we'll just start with verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Judah is God's people. Jerusalem is the place of worship. And we could liken that, if we want to see it in a spiritual sense, as the fact of we who are God's people as individuals and coming together, God makes us a great and a glorious city. In verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. We find that the promise that God has given in the church is that all people can come to Christ. Not only is it given to a particular race, but whosoever will shall come and drink of the water of life freely. And so we find that in the gospel, that God has exalted His work in the earth. In the gospel, God has exalted Himself so that He can be viewed. And in this verse, we find that God is speaking about exalting His plan and His purpose in the earth. And we see how that it's exalted above all the mountains and all the hills. God's desire is to exalt His working in the earth above everything else. There is nothing that compares to God's work in the body of Christ. There is nothing that compares to God's work in the gospel. There is nothing that compares to what God is doing where two or three are gathered together in His name. There is nothing that compares to what there is in serving God. There's nothing greater than being a child of the King. And this must be exalted not only in our mind, but it must be exalted in the earth. We find the song that says, "Lift Jesus higher." And that's the cry of the heart of every born-again believer who's hearing from God. It's the cry of the Holy Spirit that comes to us. Our task and our labor today is to exalt Jesus Christ, to lift Him up, to bring Him to a high place that the world can look and see that He's not Jesus humiliated, He's not Jesus left upon a cross, but He's Christ exalted. And He works in our lives as the exalted Christ, showing us His great glory, His Spirit, and His power. And that's what this verse is speaking about tonight. I trust the Holy Spirit will somehow, while this message goes forth, bring you to the place of knowing that it's not getting to heaven that's important. That's only part of it. It's exalting the name of Jesus. That's what's important this moment. He will bring us to heaven. We don't save ourselves, and we don't bring ourselves to heaven, but the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives gives us the privilege to exalt the name of Jesus. And whatever we do, whatever is our ability and privilege, it should all be with this thought in mind. I want to exalt Him. I want Him to be lifted up. I want people to have to stop and take notice. I want people who've dismissed Him as something that's not important have to stop and see that they can't ignore what God is doing in the earth, that Christ might be exalted. That's our privilege tonight. Look at verse 2 carefully with me this moment. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. The mountain of the Lord's house, God's house itself, God's working, God's power is a mountain. But it shall be established in the top of the mountains, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. Whatever it is that people find interesting, whatever it is that captures people's attention, The power and the glory of God must be exalted higher than this. He must be the greatest of all views that people have. We look at education, but the greatest teacher that you'll ever know is the Holy Spirit. And the church is not meant to be ignorant. The church is not meant to be ignorant in anything. God has called us to be challenged, to be like the Old Testament prophet, the Old Testament saint, as we look and see Daniel 10 times better than all the other young men around about him. That's the will of God, to bring us to the place where that we can see that God has blessed us so that he can exalt his name. Christ has called us that he might exalt his name. He's delivered us that he might exalt his name. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit that he might exalt his name. He's taught us and encouraged and strengthened us. He's developed us in 1,000 different ways. Why? So that he might be exalted. As God blesses us, we're able to be a blessing. As God prospers us, we're able to be a ministry of prosperity to others. As God teaches us, we're able to see in that moment the joy of reaching forth and granting the joy of impartation, that others can be as blessed as well. The church is not meant to be simply a haven for discouraged people. The church is not meant to be a shelter for naked people and hungry people and just let them have something to hide in. The church is the armory of God for the equipping of the saints, that men might be thoroughly furnished unto good works, until the proud sinner has nothing to boast in anymore, until the man who feels himself exalted in his own strength has to look and see, exalted as he is, praise God, there's a people whose God is the Lord, and there are people who've got it together because the person teaching them is none other than God. He brings his people into high places. He brings his people into joy and victory. But not just joy, not just some victory. The power of God is to work in the church until we're a testimony that he who has formed us and made us, none other than the Lord, is working in our life. And we can stand in this moment and say, this is the Lord's doing, my life. This is the Lord's doing, my heart. This is the Lord's doing, my spirit. This is the Lord's doing, my labor. This is the Lord's doing, my song. This is the Lord's doing, everything about me. This is the Lord's doing. I was buried with him in baptism. I rise to newness of life. And the life that I live is the life of the Son of God. You're looking at a miracle that's wrought by God Almighty. Every one of us, that's God's plan. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Shall be established. I like that word because it means it doesn't move back and forth. God's not building mobile homes. There's no hitches on the front of what he's doing. He's not putting us into tents anymore. Our God is establishing us at the top of the mountain, praise the Lord. Will you let God establish you at the top of the mountain? And will your desire be not, oh yeah, good, put me there, but unto him that the praise might be exalted, unto him that he might receive the honor and glory. Bless me, God, and exalt me, not for my sake nor my purpose. My will, dear God, is to see that you're raised up in honor. My desire, dear God, is to see that you receive praise. And I'm a part of you, God. I'm a part of the Almighty. I'm joined unto thee. You're my life, dear God, and I live in this moment that I might be able to bring praise unto him who has formed me, to bring praise unto him who's breathed upon me himself. The life that I live is not my own. The life that I live is the life that says I am his. I'm a representative of him, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. The life that I live is not to say so and so is exalted, but Jesus is exalted. My desire is Christ. My motivation is Christ. My ambition is Christ. My dream is Christ. My vision is Christ. Let me run the race that he might get the prize. Let me run the race that he might get the glory. Let me be more than a conqueror, that people can put their trust in the Lord. Let testimony ring free that it's Jesus who's the one who is working in this hour. Christ and Christ alone. I could fail for myself. I don't mind failure. There is something redemptive even in failure. It changes your life, brings you to a place of being pruned. I don't mind failure. It's a part of life, and I can enjoy anything that's a part of life. But I'm His ambassador, and my cry, O God, is I'm a representative of Yours. Let me be filled with Your Spirit, like that man, Apostle Paul, that from his body was taken aprons and handkerchiefs. And so much was the glory of God in his life, and so much was God's victory flowing through him, that when they were placed upon the sick and those who were tormented, that the demons left and the sickness was gone. Why? Because there was something flowing in the very veins of his life, not only his body, but his spirit and mind and being, until sickness had to flee and depression could not remain. Why? Because it was Christ in the life of this man. It was not the spirit of Paul, but it was the spirit of Jehovah Jesus that dwelt in this man, until it was able to touch others as well, that he might be able to receive the glory. The shadow of the Apostle Peter falling upon the sick when he was so busy at times that there wasn't time for personal prayer, until the press was so great around about him that there wasn't even time always for adequate ministry. But that there might be such a flow of expectancy, that the Spirit of God rising in people, a spirit of hope, that the shadow of this man, as it fell across the sick, in that moment, there was a touch of the Master. Wouldn't you like to see your shadow so positive that they brought healing, not fear? Your shadow so positive that they brought hope, not discouragement? About the most negative thing that you can have is a shadow, because it's blocking out light. But when it is somebody full of the Holy Spirit and they get in the way of natural light, you still have spiritual light. And when the shadow comes, there's still victory. When the shadow comes, there's still blessing. When the shadow comes, there's still prosperity. When the shadow comes, there's still hope, because the shadow is that of the presence of the Master, and we can rejoice in that moment. Praise the Lord. A will, a determination, a sense inside of urgency that cannot be sidetracked. God is to be exalted, not to be buried in denominational wonder, not to be buried in our achievements of yesterday, not to be buried in the truth that we're doing as much as anybody else, not to be buried in that which satisfies the religious need of man, but a cry that comes into the spirit of a man. Every hour belongs to God. Every generation belongs to God. Every time belongs to God. And this time that we're partaking of, this hour belongs to God. And if it's God, then exalt Him, and exalt Him higher than the mountains. Exalt Him until the politicians cannot look and laugh. Exalt Him until the educators cannot come and pity us. Exalt Him until the pleasure-mad crowd cannot say, I have no interest. Exalt Him until the shadow of Jesus falls across the sickness of our hour, and there's healing through the mighty power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of meaning, of purpose. Every good thing is because of Christ in you. And there is no greatness except He's able to come and dwell in men. Oh, hallelujah. He proved that as He came and tabernacled among us. But it's only a part of God's great desire. He found one who was willing.
He found one who was faithful. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, so that the twisting of our lives would not hold back his pleasure, that the power of God was able to explode in us, as frail as we are, as ignorant as we are, as crooked and broken as we are. The great power of God is able to come down and minister in our lives. And in this moment, human beings turned on by the power of the Holy Spirit find that their intoxication is not in wine wherein is excess, but they have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're able in this hour to exalt Jesus, to exalt him higher than he's ever been exalted in the earth. We have a way in religious circles to be so excited about yesterday. While Daniel was here, he was but cast into a lion's den. But today we look and we are able to say, what a man and what a move of God. We're able to look at Elijah. And Elijah was another prophet that was a crackpot for most. And yet today we say, what a man. And we look and see all of those of the last days that are gone by. And we can deify them today and reverence them and respect what they did for God. But we fail to understand that our God is not the God of the dead, but he's a God of the living. And in this hour, God wants a people who can bring glory to his name. If he ever wanted a Daniel, he wants another one today. If he ever wanted an Elijah, he wants another one today. If he ever wanted a Paul, he wants another one today. If he ever wanted a Peter, he's looking for another Peter today. If he ever wanted Jesus, he wants him in the midst. He wants him here today, the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Lift him up. The kingdom of God is to be exalted, not to be accommodated. The church of the living God is meant to be lifted by the power of the Spirit of God to the place that the world that once humored it looks around and finds that they can't compete with it any longer. I'd like every demon to be jealous of the church, not to laugh at it. I'd like every power of hell to be jealous of our relationship with God, not scorn it. I'd like people who are filled with a desire for the world to look and see, here's something to reckon with. These people have been touched by God, and the miracle is what's inside of them. The miracle is what's going on in their spirit. The miracle is what's going on in their lives. These people have been quickened by the power of God. Hallelujah. The church is not meant to be a people that the world looks at and discredits. The church is meant to be that people like Jesus, when the rulers were what moved to envy, moved to envy. My God, if I'm going to have enemies, let them be people who envy me. If I'm going to have enemies, let them be people who know I've got something. If I have to have enemies, let them know that my land and my hour this moment is God's working. This is my time to praise God. And if people are going to be enemies, let it be because they're moved to envy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever we do, whatever is a part of our time, we're doing it as unto the Lord. I thank God for the music, the worship, the praise, the testimony. I thank God for the things that I look and I see God in it. I see God in it because there's beauty and order in it. So many people feel it doesn't matter. Just get to church, get there any old time, sing a song, any old song, sing it on any old key, and miss it any place you please. No, I represent Jesus, and I want the world to know that the best music in the world is heaven's music. The best joy in the world is heaven's joy. The best wisdom in the world is the wisdom from above. The best power in the world is the power of God, and the best power to keep is the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I don't want to be ashamed of the church. our part of it, our participation in it. I'd rather sacrifice if my sacrifice can exalt His name. I'd rather empty myself. If in emptying myself, there's people who have to look and recognize of a truth, something wonderful is in their midst. The day that we live is not just a day to sacrifice, but to sacrifice to exalt the name of Jesus. To exalt that name. To exalt that name. Until people have to stop and consider, this is the Lord's doing. Until we lift our moment to the place that's above men's level, we haven't done a thing. Oh, I look at a bankrupt world where rich people, the doctors and the lawyers, the professional people, go down to a nightclub. The lights are dim. The food's not bad. The comedian comes out and he's funny, has a certain amount of humor. But the best that he can do is talk about sex until it's gutter level. Be express humor, if you would call it that, in filthy four-letter words. Insult the audience. Nothing higher than this. And the people sit there in their filth and in their bondage. And I look at it, and this is the best the world has to offer. I'm not impressed with it. I look and I see the movie industry bringing out ridiculous, insane movies that do nothing to build anybody, does nothing to encourage anybody. And even the things of sex do not speak about two people caring for each other, but it's two people who hate each other and still have a sexual relationship. Young people with no real deep concern for their mate. Young people with no great concern for the person they're with, but they're just living out sex. It's cheap, it's ugly, it's filthy. The church has something more than this. And my God, in this hour, let us compete with the world and say, look, this hour, if that's what you've got, you don't have nothing. I've got something better than this. I've got a God who keeps me healthy. I've got a God who gives me wisdom. I've got a God who gives me joy. I got a God who makes me 10 times better. Sit in your cesspool of your sin. Stay there if you will, but you can taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. If the world had it together, then we could understand it, even though we were not a part of it. If the world had it together, then we could know that we got a battle on our hands. But the world doesn't have it together. There are double standards. Are sick to the core. Talk about human rights. And they'll take a little baby because it isn't pretty and have all the abilities that a baby should have. And doctors who are educated and wise have promised to protect life will starve that little baby to death and make it their decision that that baby doesn't live. Brother, if that's the best the world can do, we don't have no trouble in this hour, but the trouble that's inside of us. Because the world is not competition against the church. The church is already exalted higher than any other mountain. Why don't you see it? The things of God are already exalted higher than any other mountain. Why don't you notice this? Hallelujah, we can rejoice. The world around about us is sinking sand, but Christ the solid rock is what you're standing on. And on Christ the solid rock, we can stand in this moment knowing that all other ground is sinking sand. Men who go to get an education and money means enough to them that nothing else really matters, who are given permission by the courts that you can cut the stomach of a woman open As long as the doctor does not reach his hand down to lift the baby out of that womb, take the cord and wrap it around the baby's neck at 9 months. Not just 6 or 5 or 4, but 9 months. A child well able to come out of there and live complete and perfectly. But wrap that cord and strangle that baby. And have the approval of the courts of this land. Have the approval of your colleagues. Have the approval of even churches. Brother, when this happens, I'm glad that I'm a Christian. And I can look at the cross and know that the world despises the cross. But praise God, the cross despises the world. And I can look in this moment and say, world, you're sick, and I know the doctor. And I praise God, I'm one with him. And he's given me his medicine bag. And if you want to be healed, I can declare to you in Jesus' name this moment that we have power over all the power of the devil. And in Jesus' name, you can be saved tonight and delivered from your sin and brought into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The church, the body of Christ, believers, are not just able to live in this hour and enjoy some measure of protection. The church is a people who are called of God to confront the hour that they live in with a message of the gospel. And that message is that he is exalted. He's at the right hand of the Father. Not to escape, but so that he could bring forth his every decree. We are lifted with him to this place of exaltation. He's at the right hand of the Father. Above every power, every principality, every work and every order, every authority. He's exalted above it all. Look and see where he is. Your Christ is exalted, not in a tomb. He's exalted above every lawyer, above every doctor, above every politician, above every poet and every artist, above every songwriter, above all the people who are in Hollywood. He's exalted in this hour. He's exalted above the nightclubs. He's exalted above the gambling casinos. He's exalted. Your God reign up. He's been exalted. Hallelujah. The Father has raised him up. And if you're his today, you're in the part of exalting his name. That's your call. And that's the spirit that God is churning inside of you. To see the work of God exalted. To see the name of Jesus exalted. We're not defensive. We've been given no defensive weapons. There's no protection for our backs. We go forward in this moment. We never turn around. We're God's people. We are called to put on the whole armor of God and then to stand and never to turn back, but to know the God who has called us hasn't called us to retreat, but he's called us to victory. He's called us to glory. He's called us to edification, not of ourselves, but to speak to others and say, come up higher. There's victory. The higher you get, the better it gets in the Lord. He's to be exalted. The highest mountain. He's to be exalted. Above all hills. He's to be exalted. I don't know about you. But I know that God continually works in our spirit. In all of my life. My call in Christ. Is to exalt. To exalt. Jesus in his kingdom. To exalt him. Not just to find somebody creepy enough to get saved. Nothing wrong with reaching down to the guttermost. Not looking for somebody who's weird enough that maybe they'll respect what I'm saying. But be able to turn to the proud and the arrogant. and say every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To be able to challenge the powers of hell and say when you finish your nightclub act, you're the easiest thing in the world to follow because you're death. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't have one act that's hard to follow. He doesn't have one. Listen, it's easy to follow the devil. When he finishes with sex, he leaves you with divorce and sickness and disease. He's an easy act to follow. When he comes to bring joy, it's not a laughter, it is a laughing at yourself and everybody else. The devil is an easy act to follow. I'm glad that I'm a preacher. I'm glad that I'm a born-again saint of God. I'm glad that I'm a Christian because I haven't found an hard act to follow yet from the devil. Everything he does is wreck and ruin. And I represent the life. I represent the power of the gospel. I can speak and say, I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that it's good to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil's an easy act to follow on a campus. He's an easy act to follow after a nightclub. He's an easy act to follow after he's destroyed people in alcohol and drugs. He's an easy act to follow after he's perverted government and made politics out of it. He's an easy act to follow. Praise God. It's time for Christians to get away from their inferiority complex and know you are not the bums, but you are the saints of the Most High God. You have been washed and you have been cleansed and you are serving the only real God and King. His name is Jesus. And serve Him. Hallelujah. Christianity is not an escape. It's a commission. You've been commissioned to exalt the name of Jesus. Oh, listen, a lot of people perhaps are saved and they try to find a place to hide. There's no place to hide in the gospel. The God that you serve will pull every cover over off of you until they get out of that bed. We're going on a journey. Hallelujah. The God that you serve, He will stir you and sit on the end of the bed and jump up and down real easy like. Until you're awake and you say, go away, I want to sleep. And he said, what for? Open your eyes. I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. He stirs his people. He quickens his people. He takes the laziness out of your mind. He takes the escape out of your spirit. He takes the daydreams and the soap operas out of your life. He brings you into abundance. He sets before you an open door and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. The church is the laughter of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the healing of God, the mercy of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. I'm a part of what God is. I'm a part of what God's doing. Then get out of here, you ugly critters. Get out of here, you old things that are bringing bondage. And come alive and live this hour. Saints of God, rise. You're not living in the ghetto. You're living in His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He doesn't come down to live with you except to bring you to live with Him. He's not a God of failure. His kingdom, it shall have no end. And His kingdom is whenever there's a subject of people who are willing to be obedient, He will cause you to live in joy, in victory. He will cause you to live in blessing. You haven't even begun to see what can happen when a people begin to get turned on with the thought of exalting the name of Jesus. Lift His name higher. What is your vision and what is your goal? Your vision and your goal is to see Him exalted until the devil has nothing to compare. Nothing at all. Hallelujah. Solomon's temple. Solomon's reign and Solomon's kingdom was given for instruction for God's people. He brought the city of God to the place where the Queen of Sheba said, I heard many great stories, but when I came and beheld your kingdom, and I looked at your ascent unto God's house, and I saw all that your servants have, and I saw the splendor of all that's around about, my breath failed me, and the half has not been told me. Listen, it ought to be the joy of a Christian to say, if you're not into the city yet, you haven't heard the half of his greatness, not the half of his goodness. You haven't even begun to know how God does great things for his people as he establishes his city. I don't know if you can receive this message without seeing what I see. I hope you have seen it. But I've seen the church as the assembly of the pitiful and yet sincere. I've seen the church as the assembly of the hurt and the bruised and the broken. I've seen the church as a people who trust nobody anymore but just he who's above. And they live like that. And I would never sneer at such a people, because hurt and pain and subjection to a lot of religious ways can bring people there who are sincere and honest and complete in their loyalty to Jesus. But there's something more to God's plan in the earth than just to bring together sincere people to hold hands and say it won't hurt that bad. We'll make it yet. He set us in this hour and said, there's nobody like you. I've robbed heaven to bless you. I've emptied heaven to prosper you. I've given you the greatest teacher that's ever been given to any people anywhere. I've given you the spirit that brought forth creation. I give you the spirit that hovered over the face of the waters in Genesis and caused that time when the earth was nothing but a form and void, and breathed upon those waters and brought out order. I give you that spirit. And if you will hunger for my spirit and know that it's more than religious. Hallelujah. And the earth, when it was without form and void, it didn't have any religious understanding. It didn't have any religious ability. It had no power to respond to the Spirit, but the Spirit had power to perfect it. And sometimes we think that it's our insights that will bring forth greatness. But listen, even without insights, you who have no eyes will see. When the Holy Spirit works in your life, He gives you eyes. And you who have no ears, if you will stay in His presence, He will give you ears. And you who have no will, He will give you power and will. It's God. He's a perfecting God. He can brood over the lack of order and bring forth order. He's a God of greatness. There's places of employment. And they say, if you can cut it, we're hiring. If you've got it, we'll put you to work. If you can go through the test and qualify, you've got a job. And multitudes go by and never walk in because they don't have it. They don't have it. Listen, Christian, God doesn't say that to you. He says to the poor, the gospel is preached. To the man who doesn't have it, God is able to make you qualify. But not only does he save you from your sin, from that moment he begins to treat you like a son. And this father teaches his children, he's not going to leave you in a hospital somewhere. He brings you into his house, and you're going to walk alongside of the father, and you're going to learn the father's business, and you're going to know the father's mind, and you're going to go forward in his victory. Hallelujah. No school easier to enroll in. No commission easier to participate in. No calling that is easier to become a part of than that which is of God's. But there is no rules that are stronger and mightier than God's. He says he will bring many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. He's a consuming fire, but he only burns the dross. He's a mighty wind, but he only blows away the chaff. He's a mighty God, but he never destroys his own. He's a quickening spirit. And now, Lord, is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And his will is to bring many sons to glory. Hallelujah. He will fuss over your life until you're changed. He'll stir inside of you until you're transformed. He'll breathe upon you his life until you're created in his likeness. He will minister and bombard you with love until it flows out of your life. He will speak of faith until it captures you. He will give mercy until you become merciful. He will be wisdom until it flows out of your life. He's the Lord who is working in you. You are clay in transition on the potter's wheel. You're a light in a molding form that's been quickened by God. You're a light that he's breathing upon, and his breathing brings you to a place not to escape. No wings has he given you. No, he has given you the power to face your moment and to find your calling. And after you find your calling, that's when you get your wings. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as an eagle, because they don't want wings for what they once wanted wings for. There was a time they wanted wings to escape. But when you wait upon the Lord, he shuts the escape door, and you don't want wings to escape anymore, but to mount up. To mount up. David said, I would that I had wings, for I would fly away. I don't care how high. Low cover doesn't matter. I want to go that way. But when you wait upon the Lord, you want to go this way to exalt his name. Hallelujah. He can't give you wings except first you wait upon him. For you would use those wings to run and flee. He can't cause you to run like the horses except you wait. Hallelujah. Because if you could run like a horse, you'd be out of here, gone in a hurry. But when God gives you the power to have his strength, you rise up the mountainside, and like the little goats that are on the side, you're able to go through the rocky, precarious place and stay there and come to a higher place than anybody's ever been. All of his wonder is to bring you higher to exalt his name, not yours. All of his glory is to bring you higher, that you might exalt His name until you come to that place where that you understand that the whole mission in life is in exalting the Lord. We call it praising the Lord. But see it in a little different perspective. We've come here tonight to exalt His name. To exalt His name among the brethren. To exalt His name in this city. To exalt His name in this hour. To exalt Jesus. And may everything that's inside of us be stirred in knowing that as long as our enemies are enemies because of our weaknesses or our failings, we haven't suffered for righteousness' sake. You suffer for righteousness' sake when it's for envy you have enemies. When you begin to challenge the powers of hell and you're able to stand and compete with all the devil has and say, God hath worked in me His purpose and is still working in me that purpose. And I've come to exalt You, Jesus. I've come in the midst of this people to exalt the Lord. Stand with me in the service. Hallelujah. There is no greater calling than the calling that is given to saints of God to see that His mountain be established in the mountains higher than any mountain, higher than all the hills, to lift and exalt the name of Jesus. You do it by truth and not by cliches. Cliches are good if they are reminders of a truth that is meant to be ours. But just a cliche in itself will not satisfy the heart of God nor affect a world that is lost in sin. The power of Christ worketh in your life. Miracles never start until you've come to impossibilities. And that's where miracles begin. Miracles never are where that there is resources that are men's. It's when men have emptied themselves and lived beyond their abilities and have come to the place where the next step must be God's. When men are stirred by their emptying of themselves and knowing the need to go higher still, God takes over. The power of God will work in your life if you will allow yourself to be quickened and find something that's more important than satisfying self. And the only thing that I've ever found that can be fully satisfying is exalting God. And the greatest joy is when it's not by yourself, but you're surrounded by a people with the same vision to exalt Him, to lift Him, to come beyond our abilities, to be pressed in our spirit, to be pressed where the need for growth is demanded mentally and morally and spiritually in every way, to find ourselves with God calling us higher still, and you're empty. The glory of God begins to flow when we begin to catch the vision that God's will is to be exalted in the earth. In one way we exalt Him now. Lift your hands and exalt Him. He is Lord. He's lifted higher than any mountain, higher than any hill. He's God Almighty. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Exalt Him. Exalt Him. Exalt Him. Empty yourself and enrich Him. Empty yourself and enrich Him. Give of yourself. give unto him praise and honor and glory. Exalt him. Exalt him. Exalt him. Exalt him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exalt him. Exalt him. Exalt him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Exalt the Lord. Let everything within you praise him. Exalt the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to come and stand around the altar in closing prayer tonight. This message only began, and there's so much more that could be, that perhaps God will bring us back to at another time. Verse 2 precipitates verse 3 and 4. When Christ is exalted above all other hills, not only in our mind, but until it can't be denied by anybody, until in a true sense, if a person would be honest, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that of a truth God is among thee. When the things of God are exalted by men, knowing that the commission of their life is to exalt the Lord, the last 2 months have been a period for me of experiencing a part of this. Not just serving the Lord, but serving the Lord with all that I've had. My time, my will, my substance. Finding the need for his exaltation to be so great that I've borrowed finances. Pulled together finances. Why? Because of the need to exalt the Lord. He must be exalted. I found a need in this ministry to see that people with musical talents are added to this work. Why? Because we're here to exalt the Lord, to see him exalted. The lie of the devil that says the devil's got everything and God's got nothing is not so. God has everything, and the devil has been defeated. We have to know this. We have to sense it and experience it. The power that God has given us to exalt the Lord. Decisions that we make, choices, activities, to exalt the Lord. To exalt him. And when he is exalted, something can happen that can't happen otherwise. You fail to exalt the Lord, and you can run around every street corner there is and have people say, I don't want any. Why? Because until he's exalted, God will touch hearts that are hungry, but he will not get the glory that's due him. His glory comes only through the truth that he's exalted above every hill and every mountain, and that the praise that comes to him is the truth that must be acknowledged that he's the Lord.
And when that happens, verse 3 and 4, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. And he will teach us his ways. There has to be a respect for God's work in the earth. And every one of us, it's our commission to see that there is a respect. That the truth is known, that God's people are a people who've been called to truth and to honesty and purity. The church must be respected. It never will be exalted without being respected. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord. From Jerusalem, a people serving God. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. When he's exalted, he rebukes. When he's exalted, he rebukes. Anytime you exalt the Lord, he changes your life. You don't hear his rebuke until he's exalted. You leave him down in the valley where that he's got as much problems as you. You don't listen to what he says. But when he's exalted, he speaks and you listen. And he begins to rebuke, hallelujah, and you listen. He begins to rebuke and others listen too. There's a change that comes because it's an exalted Christ who's able to rebuke. Remember, change never comes through rebuke except there be authority. And authority is not acknowledged except there's something exalted. And when he's exalted, you listen and you're changed. And he shall rebuke many nations. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. I would that God would allow me to finish this message next Sunday night. I've only laid a foundation. It's as rich as the resources of God. Your swords and your spears can be traded in for implements of plowing when he's exalted. But the beginning of this whole thing is exalting Christ. The beginning of all that God does is exalting Christ. The Father exalted him and set him at the right hand of the Father. And we, and upon this earth, in miniature, we exalt him and declare where he's at. High and lifted up. And his train fills the temple. And the whole earth is filled with his glory. The exalted Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am asking that this people could be commissioned to exalt the Lord. And through their labor and through their desire and through their sacrifice and their obedience, that they would lift the name and the ministry of the kingdom, the preaching of the gospel, to a higher place than it's ever been. Our task, O God, today is to exalt thee. We've come to exalt thee. We've come to exalt thee. We've come to lift thee higher than all the mountains and all the hills, and to declare that Jesus is Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you tonight. God bless you and exalt the Lord. Thank you for sharing with me. It's a joy to be your pastor. And anytime I can be a friend to you, it's not just in the pulpit, but I'm yours. God bless you. God keep you safe.